You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today we're going to be talking about something that a lot of small businesses neglect. It's their hygiene. I'm not talking about their physical hygiene, of course. I'm talking about their email hygiene. And joining me to really help open up your eyes to this issue and how problematic it can be and some of the ways to actually address it is Troy Erickson. Now, Troy owns a company, and I think it's also his nickname, according to a post I saw that he put on LinkedIn yesterday, called Email Paramedic. And actually, Troy, I want to talk before, you know, we dive into anything else about this fascinating post that you put online yesterday, because not only was it really intriguing, it was really instructive. And if you're scrambling to try to find it quickly, I'll vamp for a moment. But basically what you said was, have you noticed the weird name of my business? And then you went into a whole story and a great lesson about why you use the name Email Paramedic and what it does to get someone's attention and get conversations going quickly. So I wonder, let's start there.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. Yeah. So Email Paramedic is something that was kind of born out of just trying a lot of different things within marketing. And I'm not somebody who's like, you know, tried a dozen things and was terrible at all but one, but I did try a lot of things. And at first I called the company Lead Paramedic, because lead is, you know, general to marketing. And my whole mission was like, hey, I'm going to revive dead leads. And a lot of times people hear that, or I go to the bank and they're like, oh, you're a paramedic. Thank you for your service. And I have to explain to them a little bit like, hey, I'm not actually a paramedic, or revive dead leads. And then they get it. But now that I've kind of switched over to email, because I started mainly in Facebook ads, and then a lot of my clients had issues turning the leads they got into customers. So I started focusing exclusively on email a few years ago. So now when I say email paramedic, it makes a little bit more sense to people. But I'm just reviving dead email lists. And I think it's just, at least to me, it's a clever hook, and it makes more sense to people when they hear it for the first time, as opposed to lead paramedic. They think I'm like leading the medical industry or something like that. But, yeah, there's just not a lot of people that focus specifically on driving more email revenue. So, it was just a way to stand out a little bit.
No, I love that. And you actually mentioned in this post the USP, unique selling proposition, sort of being baked into the name as well, which I think was a very, very smart approach. And clearly it's working for you, because you get a lot of people asking a lot of questions of you.
Yeah, thank you. It's interesting, because I feel like it's the right combination of curiosity, but simplicity. So they're curious about the paramedic part, but at the same time, they hear it and they understand what's going on. So email paramedic in general, we're most known for deliverability. And we'll probably get into that with, you know, getting out of the promo tab and the spam folder. But we also run email lists for companies. So when you opt in on somebody's website and they start sending you emails, if they're sending you bad emails you don't enjoy, that's not us. If they're sending you amazing, entertaining emails that you love reading and you're like, wow, I'm looking forward to the email today, that's us. So we do that. And then we have a certification program as well. But yeah, hopefully it's simple enough and curious enough for people to get into.
So, okay, let's talk a little bit about the reviving dead emails, because I think that, you know, to a certain extent, those of us who are spending all of our time in the marketing world, we understand this, right? Email is something that a lot of us dive into. We know the challenges with it. We know how incredibly effective it can be and still is, despite all of the, you know, noise of all the other things that people, you know, focus on. But
how would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
There are baked-in challenges when it comes to using email effectively and correctly. And I imagine most businesses, Main Street businesses certainly, not the ones that are, you know, focused with their entire business online, where email is at the core of what they do, but most of the real world brick and mortar businesses have no idea what shortcomings exist, and therefore, you know, I said at the top of the conversation, they lack good hygiene because they don't know any better. So, can you sort of paint the landscape for us?
Yeah, when it comes to deliverability, so hygiene, like David said earlier, and kind of laying it out in simple terms, is really just understanding that when you collect a lead, you do not have them forever. And sure, on your list, you have a plus because you own that lead, as opposed to social media where you're really just renting that lead. Like, you own it, but there's only a certain amount of time before that person either chooses to unsubscribe. Maybe it's not a perfect fit, or maybe they've moved on to somebody else, or their interests change. It happens all the time. And that's okay if it's for the right reasons. But a lot of times, people, they won't unsubscribe. They'll just stop opening. And if you keep emailing that person for months and months and months after they've stopped opening, Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail and all the inbox providers, if you don't keep your list clean and remove people that haven't opened in several months, they're going to punish you for that because they know that you're not supposed to be doing that, right? Like, it's good practice to only send to engaged users. So over time, if you don't clean off your list, your open rates are going to dip down, your engagement's going to dip down, and Gmail is going to say, well, guess nobody wants to read these emails anymore. And then you get put into the spam folder or the promo tab. So always remember that quality is way more important than quantity. Now, as far as revival goes, you know, the reason I like to talk about that is because the phrase dead list is brought up a lot. And that's why, you know, we use the word paramedic. And just helping people understand, like, yes, quality is more important than quantity, but there are a lot of things you can do to get subscribers back. And obviously, first thing is, you know, fixing deliverability problems, because if you have problems, your emails are going to spam or promo, people aren't going to see them. And if they can't see them, then it's going to be months and months and months since they've opened. And you're either going to keep emailing them, they're never going to open, or if you're, you know, using list hygiene, like we talked about, they're going to get kicked off. And then you could have retained them if your deliverability was better. So that's kind of like another perk of our service. Not only do we increase your open rates and sales, but we also help you grow the active portion of your email list. And I know people love talking about growing their lists because that's one of the top questions I get asked. So hopefully that's a good overview of revival.
Yeah, totally. And that's interesting, sort of the technical piece that happens, you know, when people are not actively engaging with the stuff that's being sent. Ultimately, it starts getting filtered into a different direction and can be problematic for the business. So I'm curious, I have an email service provider, and they have make it really easy for me to, you know, run a list of, you know, non-opens in the last fill in the blank. I think their default is 90 days. And to then make a choice about what do I want to do, segmenting those groups of people off, I have several choices. One is, you know, just get rid of them completely. Another one is probably something that you recommend doing. In fact, I know you do because I've seen you teach this, is to find an attempt to re-engage them in one way or another. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what sort of the do's and don'ts there?
Yeah, certainly. So starting off, like you said, it's deliverability. And the first thing you want to do before you even try to re-engage somebody is just get an idea of like where you're at right now, so you know how many people this might be affecting. So the fastest thing to do is you go to all the regular like inboxes, like I said, Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail. You can just pick Gmail for now, and you just go open a new account. And don't use like a current account you have, because that's influenced by your opening habits. So if you keep opening, you're going to be more likely to inbox into your own account. So you just go make a new Gmail account. It takes like literally 30 seconds. And then send a test email from your ESP, your email service provider. So I use ActiveCampaign, maybe your own Klaviyo, MailChimp, whatever. Just send a test email to your new Gmail account and just see where it lands. You're either going to go to the primary tab, the promo tab, or the spam folder. Obviously, you want to be in the primary tab. Promo is not good. Spam is really bad. So we can get into like how to fix that here in just a moment. But as far as revival goes, once you have the deliverability taken care of, I usually like to send an email to not my entire inactive list. It kind of depends how big it is. I probably wouldn't do more than maybe 5 or 10,000 at a time. It depends, you know, how many you normally send to, right? So like if your regular broadcast is only going out to 5,000 people, don't send a re-engagement email to like tens of thousands of people. You want to keep it roughly at the same number. So if you're normally sending 10,000 emails a day and you want to send a re-engagement email to your inactive portion and you have roughly 10,000 inactive people, that's fine. You can go ahead and send that one email because it's roughly the same size. Now, with that being said, in the email, I like to do something kind of curious because keep in mind that if you always use the, you know, similar subject lines and a similar from name, it's not going to stand out when you actually send the email and people see it in their inbox. You want to make a pattern interrupt. So for the from name, instead of my normal Troy Erickson, I'll just use my initials, TE, or maybe my first name if I always put my last name. I'll just put my first name this time. And the subject line, I'll just usually say something like, remember me, with a question mark at the end there. And then in the email, I'll say like, hey, first name, Troy Erickson here. Do you remember me? I'm the guy that talks about improving email deliverability and making more money from your list. Maybe you've heard of a few of the products I put out, and I'll list them out. And then I'll say, today I have another freebie for you just for opening this email. And then I'll link them to the freebie. And I'll say, be sure to look out for my emails in the coming days. I have some special things for you. So then that gets them excited to keep opening. But anyway, it's more about the curiosity, and you just want them to open the email because that's what gets them back on the active list. But at the same time, you want the email to make sense after they open it, so they're not frustrated and they're like, why did you even bother emailing me? I just reminded them who I am and what I do and gave them a freebie that's actually relevant to them. So that is how I would go about re-engaging people after I've fixed the deliverability problems for the client.
I love this. And so you have then a sequence or a series of additional emails that are all part of that re-engaging them, getting them to take some sort of action, it sounds like.
Not too many. Sometimes it's just one. It depends. Mm-hmm. Like if I think they really need a lot more information before putting them back into my like regular broadcast pool, where like the broadcast pool is basically the people like after they've come into my list and they've gone through the autoresponders and stuff, they're just in a pool where they get my regular daily emails. So if I think that somebody needs more information before they get put back into the pool, like maybe it's been a really long time, or maybe I have something new out they might not have seen, or like a freebie that people really love, then maybe I'll send that on day two or three, or maybe I'll take a day to kind of like re-explain my story, you know, very similar to how we've done today. And yeah, so at the most I do like three emails, but sometimes it's just one.
So you were throwing out some numbers earlier, and to some people, those might sound like small numbers. To many of our listeners, they might sound like pretty big numbers. And I think that, you know, the context is that you've worked in with companies doing this at big scale, you know, large list numbers. But for, you know, a typical you know, retail business or professional services business that might have a list of prospects and clients that's in the, you know, four figures, so 2,000 to what, 8,000 or something like that. Is this really something they need to worry about?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is just do the little testing method we talked about before and find out if you have a deliverability problem. Now, whether you do or not, most people probably will, probably about 60%. And I'm not saying it's the end of the world by any means, but whether you do or don't, it's worth a shot at re-engaging your inactive subscribers, because it's just like finding more subscribers. There might be people who just kind of forgot that you were there. or maybe they've been not paying attention for a while, but they subscribe because they knew one day they might need your services. So there's no harm done in at least trying that. But if you do find that you have deliverability problems, typically that's going to be caused by just one of a few things. So the first thing would be an issue with technical records. Now, this is the most complicated one. But if you go to like any email in your Gmail inbox and you go click the three dots in the top right, there's these little, it's kind of like a settings button, but it's just three dots. And then you go to show original. So once you click on that, this thing pops open and it will say SPF, DKIM, DMARC. If any of those say fail or they don't show up, that might be why you have deliverability problems. And usually that's a pretty simple fix. You just have to know how to modify DNS records. And, you know, I'll leave my contact info at the end of this in case you need help with that, because like I said, it can be complex. But most of the time, I would say that's probably 10 to 20% of the time. 80% of the time, 80 to 90%, it's going to be a content issue. So like we talked about, content or hygiene. So we talked about hygiene earlier. If you haven't been practicing good hygiene, you probably should, because that might be how you ended up in that bad situation in the first place. As far as content goes, it's just about making sure that your emails are just really, really, really giving value to people. And I know people overuse the word value, but if you were a subscriber on your own list and you are your target market, be honest with yourself. Would you enjoy receiving your own emails? It's kind of a tough question to ask yourself, and a lot of people don't know exactly what they're supposed to be sending, but you can just survey your list. Just send them an email that says like, hey, what's your number one question right now about blank? Where blank is simply your niche or like what you do. And when people reply, then you know what you should write about. And you shouldn't be trying to sell them something every single day. I would say about half my emails have no call to action in them. I'm just talking about things that are relevant to our niche, talking about questions people have. I'm telling entertaining stories that happened in my life, telling about things that happened around the office. I'm telling about like a weird like client situation we had, or maybe I'm telling like a testimonial, just crazy things that happen. And some days I wake up and I don't know what I'm going to write about, but I have a whole list of things in my phone that I'll just start pulling from. And when you can kind of hook people from day one with really interesting and sometimes contrarian ideas, they will keep reading and reading and reading. Now, in addition to that, that's more of like the qualitative side. Now, for the quantitative part of content, just have to understand that if you're, you know, your messages are very heavy with images, or you constantly say like 20% off or sale today, or using salesy language, the algorithm is going to look at like, okay, like how much of this email is promotional or salesy or spammy content? Because if it's really heavy in that kind of content, then they're more likely to put it in the promotions tab or in the spam folder. So you just have to like look at those things. And the kind of way that you can test today is like guess and check. So you essentially, if you see you have a problem and it has to do with content, then you can edit the content and then just test it again and see where you land. So that's kind of the trial that you can do today. Obviously, we have more advanced, you know, faster methods of solving the problem. But, you know, that gets pretty unique and kind of in the weeds. So always
open. I want to circle back on the spammy language, because, you know, obviously we can make some very educated guesses about something that is incredibly salesy. But a lot of the folks who tend to be here in this audience are in professional services, right? So their calls to action are going to be more along the lines of, you know, book a strategy session or an appointment or something along those lines. Or I've seen many of our folks use the Dean Jackson signature, you know, when you're ready, here's a few of the different ways I can help you with regular links. Any things to sort of caution people about any of that stuff, or is that really not what we're talking about when we're talking about salesiness or spam potential language?
Yeah, there's certainly things you can do to mitigate that. Ultimately, it comes down to like just general like business too. So, for example, like if everybody out there is saying strategy session, not only is it not going to work as well from a human standpoint, But the algorithm will pick up if you keep saying strategy session and everybody else says strategy session, then it's probably has to do with marketing and promotions and sales. So if you can just make it like more of an evaluation, like ours is click here to find out how much the promo tab is costing you. And they click there, they go to a calendar, and the whole point of the call is literally just to book a call and see how much money they're losing due to deliverability problems. So we don't really say strategy session, marketing, any of that stuff. That's just one example of what you can do. But more importantly, the way that you can never again worry about like, oh, am I using too much marketing language is by what we do. So we actually, instead of trying to remove all the words and phrases, we actually add some. So we'll create like a little branded story and place it at the bottom of the email. And we make sure that we avoid all those like marketing and like promotional and salesy trigger words. And it's pretty much just like a company bio. And we'll put that at the bottom of the email. And what that does is it counterbalances against the promotional like words and phrases and salesy things in the email. So if you get that right, you can say almost whatever you want in the actual email, as long as you're balancing it out. And that takes a lot of work to get it right. And it's very tedious and going back and forth. It makes you want to pull all your hair out. But, you know, that's just one creative thing that we do as part of our services. So there's a lot of ways to get around it. It just depends how creative you are.
Yeah, I love that. You have this background where you have been writing. You have, you know, traditional sales copy informing a lot of the work that you personally have done, and you're training others to do this as well. I imagine, you know, in part to do it, you know, on behalf of their own business or clients of their own, but also training people, I imagine, to help work with clients for you as well. Can you talk a little bit about that part of your business?
Yeah. So the cool thing is, anytime that you start providing a service, it's always a good idea to have some kind of way where people can just follow along. For me, that started out, I just made a Facebook group. I think I started charging like $49 a month, and there was a free trial on it. And I was just like, hey, I'm going to share all the things I'm doing with my email list management clients, whether that's deliverability, whether it's coming up with content ideas for daily emails, whether it's like what time to send the emails, like how they should go out, best strategies, and a whole bunch of other ways to make more money that most people have no idea about. So I started doing that. And people were following along. And then I came out with essentially the deliverability offer, which is the same thing as email list management, but obviously without the writing part. So I have those two B2B. And then I thought, you know what? Like, I don't like this monthly coaching program thing because people, they come in, they come out, and the content wasn't organized really at all. It was just kind of a random assortment of videos. So this earlier this year, I blew that up and I created a certification program. I said, this isn't good enough for me. If somebody comes in and they're a beginner, there's no way they're going to be able to follow all this chicken scratch that's going on with the video. So I blew it up and I created the certification program, which essentially shows like A to Z how to either do this for yourself or for clients. Like module one is like mindset. I know a lot of people say mindset, but it's training you how to like think differently, right? Because like on this podcast, we've talked about like a lot of new creative ideas that maybe people hadn't had before. So like that's mindset. Second thing would be finding email ideas and like how to write them. And yes, you can have an endless bank of ideas if you're creative enough, like I mentioned with writing down all the things that happened to you throughout the day and interesting stories. Then we talk about automations in the next module. Then we talk about deliverability. We talk about finding clients. And then we talk about for the people who are, you know, really wanting to make it to the next level is how to take your services and turn that either into an agency or your own offer. So as of today, we have 310 people in the certification program. They joined for the year because that means they're going to stay committed to this. We upped the price a bit, but it's 10 times better than the old program we had. And a lot of the same people that write for me and work on our team in office in Florida, they are also the coaches that are giving feedback on our coaching calls. So that's just kind of how that whole thing transpired. And it's been amazing. And people are getting great results for their clients. They're getting great results for themselves. And it's been a lot of fun to just kind of open up and create a coaching side from the agency that we've built.
That's excellent that you're doing that. And it's something that, as you said at the beginning, is a great way to add an additional revenue stream to a business, particularly a lot of businesses that are service based, where they you know can get hired to provide a service, but they could also find ways to monetize teaching that, or teaching an aspect of it, or teaching, you know, one of my favorite recommendations is teaching somebody how to get ready to become my ideal client, right? So all the things that they can do and pay me to teach them to do in advance of actually then hiring me. And so kudos to you for putting that into place in your business. Here's a question that I would normally ask of anybody who's spent time in the copywriting or email space, as you have, around sort of, you know, who do you look to or listen to, or who's informed the way that you think about writing emails and that sort of thing. But there's a twist to this, because we have a lot of listeners who are not in the copywriting space professionally, and who have not come up, you know, reading the likes of, you know, the typical answer that I get to who do you subscribe to and read all the time might be somebody like Ben Settle, right? But for an average business owner, aside from you, who we're going to make sure everybody subscribes to at the end of our conversation to demonstrate sort of the way that you carry this stuff out, where do you recommend people look to for inspiration and ideas about types of emails they could be sending?
Yeah. So overall in the copywriting space, the two guys that really helped me out tremendously are Stefan Georgi and Justin Goff. They run the Copy Accelerator Mastermind. Without them, I definitely would not know as much as I know now, but I like, Justin, he sold his shares because obviously Stefan really wants to go and like talk to big business owners and like preach copywriting. And then Justin, he got to the point where he was happy. So it's just Stefan in Copy Accelerator now, but Stefan kind of marries the copywriting world with like the really advanced business owner world. And he's got an interesting personal brand in that aspect. Because he used to run the events, they were like almost biz oppy in terms of copywriting, because he would talk so much about copywriting and making money. But at this last one, he brought in like so many 8-figure business owners to speak, and he just married copywriting with business ownership. And when it comes to those two things and just really scaling and kind of seeing how somebody went from living literally in like a trailer park to making, you know, millions of dollars per year in personal income, and I think Stefan's probably the best one to follow, and he's had tremendous impact on me.
And I can't remember if it's Stefan or Justin, but one of them has a really fun way to get onto their list, which is that you, it appears as if you have to apply for the right to be on their list. Do you remember which one of them that is?
That's both of them. I set that up.
Okay.
For them.
Yeah, very, very, very clever way to build their list. Of course, I don't think they've ever rejected anybody, but
they have. Actually.
Oh, have they? Okay.
The funny thing is, obviously most people get on. You have to say something really, really bad to not get accepted. But from time to time, Stefan will take a screenshot of somebody who left a really funny response, and he'll kind of playfully grill them on Facebook. But yeah, it's just a way to make it a little more valuable, right? It's just positioning, and it's worked well for both of them. And I helped them set it up at the beginning. And those guys are great.
No, I love that. And this speaks to what we were talking about earlier in terms of getting people looking forward to opening up those emails, right? Because they've set an expectation for the person who's applying to get onto that list, that there's some tremendous value, and then they deliver on it, whether they are the ones writing or maybe somebody else has been hired to write on their behalf. We have just a couple minutes left, but I want to actually talk about that, email list management and writing on behalf of a client sort of as a service, because I imagine, you know, again, there are businesses that you've worked with who are used to this setup and understand the model. How do you introduce this, and what is the experience for a business going through this for the first time?
Yeah, so if it's the very first time, it's just understanding that email marketing comes down to creating a high ticket offer and just putting it in front of your most interested people, because people on your list are going to be more interested than the people on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever, because they've chosen to go another step forward with you. So being able to talk to those people and literally just make a Calendly account. And if you're brand new, hopefully most people have a calendar already, but that's okay. If you're brand new, you just make a Calendly. And if you tell entertaining stories that are relevant to your business, and maybe two or three times a week, put your Calendly link in them. As long as you're growing the list and feeding new leads, it's really hard for you to not convert some of those leads into high ticket clients. It's just a numbers game at that point. Now, if you're a little bit more of an advanced business owner, you may understand there's a little bit of a problem with the way that the copywriting world is done. And typically, it's like you go hunt for a new copywriter. A lot of times they don't get the work done on time. They send it to you in a Google Doc, and then somebody has to edit it. And then somebody else goes into the ESP and clicks send, and that person doesn't understand deliverability, and neither does the copywriter. Nobody's bringing strategic ideas to the table. So what I did is I just wiped out all those problems. And I said, okay, an email list manager is somebody who's good at copywriting. They're good at strategy. They're good at deliverability. So all you have to do is just give them basically access to send the emails from your ESP. So they just write the email, they send it, they make sure it inboxes into the primary tab, and they take care of all this like back and forth communication between people who are asked to do things outside of their expertise. So a list manager is just somebody who solves that problem. We didn't invent email list management. The term's probably been around, you know, for 10 or 15 years, but we definitely popularized it. And we're just creating, you know, the world's best move of list managers. And I like to say we're the best. And then we also have a lot of students in our certification program who are pretty dang good too.
That's an awesome answer. And I wasn't even really thinking about the role of list management in solving some of this problem. So that's great. I promised folks that they could learn a little bit more about you and start receiving emails to see the style that you write in as you've been talking about this. And you have something really great that you have put together to share with people to address questions and start a relationship with them through their email inbox. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I call it the email FAQ cheat sheet. So basically, as I mentioned earlier, I send out a lot of reply emails to my list and ask different questions. So a while ago, I spent some time saying, hey, what's your number one question about email marketing? So I took all the questions people replied with and that I've heard at events and online. I took every possible question that you have about email. I promise your question is in this document. And I put it at faqemail.com. So you can just go there and I will send you a copy of this answer cheat sheet. And it will help you tremendously and cut the learning curve down when it comes to email marketing.
That's awesome. I've just signed up for it. I just received my delivery of that document, and I'm excited to dive in and learn a little bit more. So Troy Erickson, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I always like talking email and creative stories and things that are kind of off the wall. So I appreciate it.
Indeed. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the inbox. And in the meantime, folks, if you know anybody who can benefit from listening to the conversation you've just listened to, please by all means share it. This is David Baer, and you have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Take care, and we'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.